It's Evan and Kiki. Afternoons on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
Aaron Boone also has the New York Yankees at 55 wins, which is nobody's checked. Is the third most wins in the American League right now.
Stream Evan and Kiki live or on demand with the Odyssey app. And podcast the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't miss the grand opening of the new Sansone Hyundai showroom on Route 1 in Woodbridge. Save big on new vehicles like the 2024 Elantra, all with America's best warranty. 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, plus Hyundai Assurance. Call 1-800-SANSONE or sansonehyundai.com.
As much as I love to be, I'm the furthest thing from being a car guy. I feel like every time I take my car to the shop, be it a routine maintenance or repair, I feel like I'm at a disadvantage. That is, until I went to Meineke. See, Meineke is doing car care right. Meineke is total car care. Engines, brakes, tires, even oil changes. Meineke Car Care is your locally independently owned one-stop shop for total car care. Visit Meineke.com for a location near you. That's Meineke.com to schedule your appointment today. Trust your key to Meineke, doing car care right.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
As school messes return, rest easy. Clorox has got your back to school.
Oh, no.
I'm back. That messy science experiment. And I brought baking soda, cornstarch.
And you're due tomorrow, right? Well, at least I stocked up on Clorox disinfecting wipes. Because you're not messing up my kitchen counters like last time.
Ooh, smart. Got any food coloring?
And off to the store we go.
Stock up on Clorox disinfecting wipes that clean three times better than wet paper towels on kitchen grease and soap scum. Use as directed.
In 2024, get more at Ramsey Mazda. More selection and more savings during the Mazda Find Out event. Like a new 2024 Mazda CX-5 starting at just $28,987. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Let's go, Yankees! Jackpot, baby! When it comes to legendary excitement and a legacy of winning, Empire City Casino by MGM Resorts is a proud partner of the New York Yankees. Two New York icons, one thrilling partnership. Winners play here. For hours, directions, and more, visit EmpireCityCasino.com. Must be 18 years of age or older to play New York lottery games. Please play responsibly.
Navien tankless water heaters, the proven leader in condensing technology. Request a Navien because you deserve the best in endless hot water delivery. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com.
Count on Navien.
Look at your cup holder. It's empty. And you're feeling thirsty. Head to a nearby convenience store and fill it with a Pepsi Zero Sugar, Mountain Dew, or Starry. Grab a delicious, refreshing Pepsi for the road.
A Kia SUV is capable of taking you far. But when you use it locally to help your community, you go even further. Whether that's carrying cargo, bringing your team with you,
ready,
or navigating new terrain. Power up your capability with the right Kia SUV. Do more with the Kia Sportage, Kia Telluride, Kia Sorento, or Kia Seltos. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely.
Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. We're talking about what C-Mac, who did the overnight last night, he'll be filling in for Evan and Tiki today with Marash. And, you know, he's saying the same thing, BT, that we started the show talking about here. You get to a point, it's not just for the Mets, but any team in baseball now, the way that it's going, and the reason why I wouldn't go all in for the Yankees, because you talk about going all in, you're giving up some top prospects, that if things go sideways for the Yankees, it's going to be a heap of a mess. Where if things, what would the Mets be risking going on at this point? A prospect or two, big deal. Like, that's not the end of the world. That's not going to derail the Mets' plans. When you get to a point that the Mets are at right now, where you're on the verge of becoming the top wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
The chemistry is there for this group. They've got guys contributing up and down that lineup. They obviously need some upgrades, but when you get to the point where they're at as a team and playing as well as they've played here for the stretch that they've played, you've got to go for it. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You got to go for it, all in. To me, that would mean definitely a loaded bullpen arm, maybe two. They need two arms, but definitely one stud, and I'd be looking to get a top pitcher as well.
I think you get what you earn, and I think you earn what you get. And I'm going to bring the Knicks into this for a moment. Like, the Knicks' run last year earned them, you know, the aggressive move by management, and that turned out to be Mikal Bridges to give right. them a real chance to win a championship. And, you know, on the lower level of the championship scale, if you will, because I don't think the Mets' talent's anywhere near quite like the Knicks or their trajectory, but it's obviously interesting enough where you can do something to fortify the now and tomorrow. The Mets have earned that right to get a little bit more and see what they could do with it. And I'm almost, like, there's not a doubt in my mind as we sit here at 11:07 on Friday, late July, deadline Tuesday, everybody's starting to posture, that Cohen and Stearns have already had the conversation. A while ago they had this conversation. And Cohen is all in, whether it's spending more money, doing whatever Stearns thinks he should do, and Stearns is actively looking to improve this team. Not a doubt in my mind.
But significant. Because reports
if it
were
presents itself, earlier, not recklessly.
Earlier in the week, you know, Will Salmon of The Athletic, Andy Martino of SNY.TV, whatever, they're reporting that the Mets are going to go after bullpen arms. Yeah, well, we know that. Somehow they've been able to survive with minor league bullpen arms here. They need two legitimate, one stud and two legitimate major league bullpen arms. They already got Maton. He's been a nice addition there, just a solid reliever, whatever. He's been good for them. But that's the bare minimum. We're talking about getting this team to a World Series level, and I'm with you. We both agreed to start the show. The one thing that would maybe hold us back from saying, are they a legit World Series contender, would be the top of the rotation. The rotation, they're missing something. Now, they get Senga back tonight. He is their ace. We'll see. But I still think they're one legit arm short of being, okay, I'll take my chances with this team, that lineup, that stud pitcher, and that bullpen going to war to try to win a World Series.
I think that that's probably the prudent route with the arms, yeah. But now let me present this to you. What if, whether it's Skubal, mm-hmm. whomever, if the asking price is just too exorbitant, or Tigers pull him back, or nobody else mm-hmm. that you deem to be a front of the rotation difference maker is truly available, right? What if you pivot from that, and there is a big bat that makes sense, and you try to hit your way to the World Series?
I would rather load up on the bullpen arms. Load up. Like, if there's not the top of the rotation pitcher,
mm-hmm.
get me three, like, high-end bullpen arms. They could definitely get one. They have to get two, but if there's not the bat, I'd rather get the third bullpen arm, because what bat is going to make that much of a difference on an offense that has already been one of the best in baseball for an extended period?
I don't know, but it just makes it better. I mean, so to me, you know, fortifying a strength is never a bad move.
Well, who's the bat that you're thinking of?
I don't know. I mean, I know you're not a big Bellinger fan.
Mm.
I know you're not.
It's got to be, I'm sorry, BT, it's got to be specific outfield, because where are they fitting?
Well, Marte's on the mend. Are you going to put him back out there as soon as he comes back? What are you going to do with Marte? Quick aside. Seriously, what would you do?
I think he's going to play.
Right away?
Yeah, I mean, he's better than, you know, Tyrone Taylor will go back to the bench, and you have DJ Stewart out of the mix.
I guess that'll resolve itself. If he comes back and he plays well, he plays. If not, he sits. It's all good.
You figure out where you want to get McNeil in, whether it's at second or in a corner outfield spot, you know, kind of a super utility guy or playing all over the place.
All right, so I don't think you don't need a third baseman because you have Vientos, and I don't even know if McMahon's going to get dealt.
They said no Bellinger, now. I saw it this morning, I think.
They've been saying no for a little bit. They have been. I remember saying
It was another recent report that.
Like an updated one? Yeah. So they haven't changed their position yet. Right. I still think that maybe they can be convinced if something's really appealing, but it seems like they're.
Everybody's got a price.
I know, yeah, for sure. I think they're pretty committed to that, but you know, whatever. Some wacky proposal list that can change that. Bellinger, you don't love him. I get it. Although he'd be an upgrade at first base defensively, then you could just DH Pete. That might be something that could work, although I don't think that would happen. And the problem with Vlad Guerrero, and, you know, he's eligible for arbitration this offseason, then he's a free agent full bore in 2026, just so everybody's aware of that. If you were to make a move for him, and I don't think that you guys will, what do you do? Like, the logistics defensively between him and Pete at first base, and if there was no DH in Martinez, well, then that actually changes it with Pete and Bellinger, too. You see, as good as Martinez is, if you're just going to get a bat, it's got to be a bat that plays the outfield, right?
Got to be. That's what I'm saying.
It has to be.
Even third base, like you think about, oh, could the Mets potentially get a third baseman? Yeah, but then what do you do with Vientos? Well, you move him to first, and you have Pete DH, or you have Vientos DH.
I would not move Pete to DH for Vientos. Pete's a much better fielder than him.
I'm just saying how you could have, whatever. You have Vientos play first, or you have Vientos DH. Whatever that alignment is, there's a logjam because of JD Martinez.
Yeah.
All he could do is DH. Mm-hmm. So to get the bat that to upgrade, it has to be somebody that could play the outfield because all the other spots are taken.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's part of the problem that the Mets have there. I think they just need a bench bat. I'd much rather go after the arms. If I'm building a team, I'm looking to load up on the bullpen, and I just want the one horse that could start game one of the postseason.
Do you think they were in on even a cursory level, just exploratory conversations on Arozarena? Because he's an outfielder.
I don't think they were in on that. What did the Mariners give up for him? Do you know?
I think it was two prospects, I think I read.
But what are we talking about, like top 10 in the farm system?
I didn't even see that, honestly.
I mean, Arozarena is somebody that you'd love to have.
That'd have a great season, though.
Yeah, but he's proven in the postseason.
Oh, for sure.
He's been a beast in the postseason. That's the exact move the Mariners needed to make. That's the guy if I'm them.
Yes.
And the Mets don't need that, but that's a guy that I would want on the team. All right, let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. John is on Staten Island. What's up, Johnny?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
How are you,
I love
John?
The show. Good. I love the show, and I'm a longtime listener. I called into a sports show only once in my lifetime. That was you guys five days into the season, but unfortunately, I was scarred for life because BT hung up on me before I was even able to make my point.
That doesn't sound like me. What happened? Yeah. Take us through it.
All right, so let me tell you. So my 5 days into the season, 0-5 Mets, 5-0 Yankees. Both, Lindor was slumping, obviously. My point was only that he's the best player on the Mets. Mm-hmm. Just so the best player on the team should get some slack. And I said, okay, look at any other team. Their best player would get slack, but I made the mistake of using BT's boy Judge, and I was not comparing Lindor to Judge, and now all my Yankee fans are killing me because that's what happened. You hung up. My point was just give him some slack because he's our best player, the same way you would give Judge slack.
But there is difference there, John.
Dela Cruz or whoever.
Judge earned it.
Because I know he's going to come. I believe that I knew he was going to come back. I wasn't fighting BT on the stats. The best. And just here's a stat for you in the last few weeks.
Yes.
Since 2021 season, since Lindor's been with the Mets, mm-hmm. four seasons, he is second in games played, third in home runs, first in ribbies, second in runs, and first in war. And he's been doing, and that was my point.
He's playing great, John. He's playing great.
And thanks for the call, John.
Maybe next year he could actually make an all-star team next year, maybe.
You can't help yourself, can you? He should have been an all-star this year.
I'm just teasing with that. But it's his own fault
because he didn't get going until the end of May.
Correct.
And by the way, it took the Mets to move him to the leadoff spot. Something they should have done 2 weeks prior to them doing it. Then they did it, and he's taken off. So something changed. Now, I was never one who said Lindor couldn't get it going. As a matter of fact, I thought coming into this year, this would finally be the year. The last two seasons were very solid. Now, some of it were empty numbers, last year in particular, because the Mets were out of it. And when they needed him to get it going early on, he wasn't there. This year, he's doing now, since he's been moved into Leo spot, what we expect him to do since he got here.
Yeah, which has been my entire point the entire time. I'm looking at his game log here, right? I mean, see, I understand that there's the Lindor conversation that has emerged in the last 5 or 6 weeks, and then there's the conversation that was, pretty much the main conversation since he got here. And like I'm just looking at this: 0-3, 1-5, 0-4, 0-4, 0-4, 0-4, 0-2, 0-5, 2-5, 0-4, 1-5, 1-6, 0-4. I mean, come on. All these overs.
He did nothing. He was doing nothing in the beginning of the season. Oh, and by the way,
he was hitting 197 on April 30th. He was hitting 195 in early May. And actually, he dipped back. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. May 20th, he was hitting 193. So anything that I said was justified. And what I'm saying now is absolutely earned and justified. He looks like a stud. He looks like the player that I thought they got from Cleveland.
Right. The only difference is that you didn't think that this was even possible from him.
I was worried. I was certainly going to grant you this.
I mean, he's 30 years old, for goodness sake.
Yep. And he's a middle of the diamond guy. Right. And his lefty-righty splits were just, I mean, there was such a drop. It was alarming. There were some other advanced metrics that really, including bat speed. I'm going to keep saying that because I did say that when I wasn't sure. You know, hey, maybe you should abandon the left side here. It's not working for you. Yeah, I threw that out there. Yeah, I did. And so far, he shoved those words down my throat. Good. Good for the Mets.
It's great to see. I mean, they needed this to happen here because Lindor being there with that contract, with his underperforming, was a major problem. By the way, not only was he hitting 193 or whatever it was, they were 11 games under.
Yep.
And in large part because he was killing them.
Yep. And Nimmo.
Yeah, right. But you've seen the difference. And Lindor, just a historic slow start. It's infuriating. But the Mets have never seen this version of Lindor.
No.
End of story.
I agree.
Like, the numbers have been there, and I like Lindor. I've been a pro Lindor guy. He wouldn't have been my first choice to make that trade and go all in. I wanted Springer. I wanted Real Muto. But I've always liked Lindor, and I've always believed in Lindor, even after that first down season. And I thought this would be his best year. But he's never done with the Mets what he's doing now. This is a first for the Mets to see him performing at this level. And they've needed it, and it's been great. Greg is in Westchester. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm happy to talk to you.
Hey.
I've been calling you guys for a while, too. So I got guys who I definitely want them to look at seriously for the deadline. And the first is to go all in on the stud reliever, and that's Tanner Scott. He kills two birds with one stone, being a lefty, power arm. And I understand your point about one more pitcher because McGill's going to come up, and we all know McGill after a few years. But how about Chris Bassett going back to the well with him? He was great here. He was such he eight innings. He had a great attitude. He could handle New York.
I like Bassett for everything that you just said, Greg. But I'm not looking for, and thank you for the call, I'm not looking for a starter. If you're going to get a starter, like, the Mets have plenty of starters, plenty of solid guys in that rotation. I'm looking for the game one starter of a postseason series. That's something they don't have. I don't believe that's Severino. I don't believe that's Kodai Senga. I mean, right now it would be one of those two guys. But I want a legitimate ace atop their rotation to go into the postseason. That guy is not on the roster, and also that guy is not Chris Bassett. So they don't just need a starter to fill out the rotation. They have six guys that are going to be in that rotation. I don't love Tyler McGill. They need a top guy in their rotation.
You know, I didn't even see this in terms of, like, the seriousness of it. So Mason Miller is somebody who's everybody's talking about, somebody that everybody has on their radar here. He's on the IL. You see this?
No, what is it?
So last night, I guess it was a late game.
I want the guy from the Angels, me personally.
Yeah.
Because I figured Miller was going to be too steep anyway.
He might be.
What happened with him?
Well, he's on the IL. He was pissed off, and he punched something, and it looks like he broke a finger. So
throwing hand?
No. It's his non-throwing hand. He's been placed on the 15-day injured list with a broken pinky in his left hand. Suffered the injury when he, quote, kind of pounded his fist down on a padded table out of emotion. Blah, blah, blah. Averaged 101.5 miles per hour in his fastball last night. He was terrific. 11 pitches, couple of strikeouts, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what he was mad at. He pitched great. They won. I don't know what the guy's problem is. And he's absolutely unhittable at this point. But I would think that you can still pitch.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need your left pinky.
But then why is he on the IL? I mean, he's not pitching for 15 days minimally. Yeah.
Who knows?
Like, I remember but I remember when I got stitches when I was a kid on my glove hand. I still pitched that night.
Right.
Because it was on my glove hand.
Yeah, I would assume he'd be okay. Who knows is right, but come on. Well, we're not asking you to catch anything. Just go out there and throw the ball.
But he's on the IL. Yeah, and now, can you take him off of the IL once? No, I believe that, unless it's like some clerical thing that I'm not aware of, I think once you're placed on the IL, you're on the IL.
You
can't play for 15 days.
I didn't think it was realistic anyway for the Yankees or Mets to get him.
Somebody's getting him.
Yeah.
You don't think?
I didn't think it was realistic for them just because it would be too rich. I would not go all in for him. For some reason, there's something about him.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I want the guy from the Angels that the Mets are. Either way, the Mets, I mean, Yankees need an arm too, but the Mets need a legitimate, no doubt about it, at least one bullpen arm. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. More of your calls on the other side. We'll get into the Yankees as well, but we're talking Mets and the fact that they need to go all in ahead of this year's deadline, which is coming up on Tuesday.
Manning takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
They knocked off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. The Mets keep on rolling, looking to make it two straight over the Braves tonight with Kodai Senga returning to the mound. First time this year we will see Kodai Senga. Nice of him to join the party finally. What are your expectations, BT? Because we talk about, you know, Senga last year was the Mets' ace. He didn't have the expectations to be that going into the year, obviously, with the way that they were lined up, but he turned out to be their best pitcher. Haven't seen him this year so far. He'll return against the Braves, as we said tonight. We know the Mets need a top-of-the-rotation pitcher as far as going into the postseason being legitimate. What are your expectations for Senga?
Right now, fairly modest.
Right.
You know, I don't... when you have an established pitcher, and now Gerrit Cole got lit up the other night by the Mets, but him coming back, there's more confidence, more of a body of work. He knows the league. He knows his repertoire, how it works in the States. You know, Senga still adjusting a little bit to American ball here. He had a great year, but he, I don't know... the ghost pitch, right?
Like ghost fork.
The ghost fork. What kind of command is required before you fully trust it? Is it more of a feel pitch or not?
Well, he doesn't have much command anyway in general, where he's, you know, a lot
correct.
Of times
throwing
a bunch of pitches. Yeah, okay. So I guess my point is, let's injury aside, because he says he's 100% healthy. I mean, God knows he's taking enough time to get back here. So yeah, it's not like he's just rushing back from injury. He should have been back months ago. So he says he's 100%. I'm going to assume he's 100%. Even if he never got hurt coming into the year, I did not expect Senga to duplicate what he did a year ago.
You and I differ on that. I liked him last year more than you. So I know you liked him. I really liked him.
So your concerns are more about just or unknown coming back from injury
correct.
Than anything else.
That's it.
For me, it's more about, he was great last year. That's great. Can you do it again? I need to see it a couple years just before I buy in, especially because it exceeded all the expectations. If those were the expectations that he was supposed to be like that, then maybe I'd buy into it more.
Mm-hmm.
But he exceeded all expectations last year. So for me to believe that that's who he really was, I need to see him do it again before I just say, okay, this is who Senga is. I think he's more of a number three.
Mm-hmm.
In a rotation, maybe a number two if you get a legit ace. I don't think Senga is a top dog that should be starting game one of the postseason.
I know the game's so different, so it's we understand that. But I probably don't really view him as a legit ace either. You know, you need your ace to be able to go out there, you know, end the losing streak, go out there, throw 115, 20 pitches when you have to, not often, but when you have to, and, you know, go 8 1/3, 7 2/3, finish a game once in a while. That I think he did, the way he labors, the way he nibbles a little bit, the ghost fork, it just the where it starts and where it finishes. If there's such a point of precision where you have to release the ball, and if you're just slightly off, you're going to wind up tacking on 6, 7, 8 more pitches per inning, and then 8 becomes 16, mm-hmm. 16 becomes 24, 24 becomes 32, 40, 48, and it just adds up. And the only problem with him as an ace, if he's your ace, is that say if he's starting Friday night at Philly, just making this up, Friday night in Atlanta, Friday night Citi Field against the Braves or against the Dodgers, and he takes the ball on that Friday night and he throws 109 pitches over 5, your bullpen is getting called that first game and they're tired the rest of the series. He doesn't give you length.
Yeah, and you worry about him on the, you know, he needs 6 days rest, you know, 5 days rest or whatever, pitching every in a 6-man rotation. That bothers me a little bit too. I do think the Mets need a legitimate top of the rotation guy. All right, Fanatics Fest NYC, it's taking over the Javits Center from August 16th through the 18th. Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-WFAN. 540-9326 for your chance to win a four-pack of tickets and be part of the first-ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. This is from our friends at Fanatics Live. Visit FanaticsFest.com for the full athletic lineup. BT and I'll be there with our show on Friday the 16th. Looking forward to that. I think Evan Tiki will be there as well. Looking forward to being out there at the Javits Center. Darren is calling from Tampa. What's up, Darren?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Good.
Happy
how are
you? Friday. What's happening, bud?
A couple things real quick. One, BT, we don't need apologies from you about Lindor. Just knowing you were wrong is good enough for us Mets fans.
Well, I mean, I was right for a large portion of the conversation. I happened to be wrong during this, you know, six-week renaissance.
Yeah, I mean, he was 30-30 last year. He'll be 30-30 again
stats.
This year. But,
I got you.
But anyway, kind of an off-the-wall idea here, and Sal, you'll either love this or you'll hate this.
Okay.
Knowing that we're already paying, you know, 7% of the salary, and knowing that it would cost maybe $4.5 million for the rest of the year, wouldn't have to give up too much in prospects to get him. If the Rangers do sell, what are your thoughts about Scherzer coming back and being a part of this club, knowing that we're already paying him anyway?
You know, I love the idea. The idea, Darren, and I'm going to tell you the truth, and thank you for the call. I just thought of this today. The first thought was, I wonder if, because we're talking about getting a top-of-the-rotation guy, I wonder if they could get Verlander back. Because you actually, BT, what made me think of it was when you said they traded Verlander, but maybe they were thinking about keeping him. I was like, man.
I remember saying I would have kept Verlander and gotten rid of Scherzer.
Last year, same thing.
Yep.
Nobody thought that they could get anything for Scherzer last year. And then they did. But the idea that they got, you know, traded Verlander, that bothered me a little bit because I thought it would impact this year not having that ace. Then I, you know, whatever, fine, they paid him to go away. By the way, his option likely not going to kick in because he was hurt the majority of the
Correct.
Year. He's not going to get there, which is going to save the Mets a boatload of money next year, which is huge for them. Anyway, when you brought up Verlander earlier in the show, it made me think, man, you know, it'd be great if they could go trade back for him. But obviously the Astros are leading the division right now, so Verlander not going to be available. And then I thought, much like Darren, what about Scherzer, bringing him back? The reason why I would be against it is because I don't trust Scherzer, the performer. I think he'd fit in great. I love the idea of that type of pitcher being on this team. And ideally, you'd like to trust him in the postseason. However, we saw it. We saw it 2 years ago. So now he's 2 years older. He's still getting banged up. He's not the same guy that he was. He wouldn't be the guy that I'd go get. I understand why you said it, Darren. I'm open to the thought of it. I thought about it myself. I just don't trust that Scherzer could be effective in the postseason, therefore I wouldn't do it.
I pretty much agree with that. I got three names for you, two of whom you are very familiar with. I mean, you know them all, but very intimately as Mets here. Now, there's one team, and this is what you have to look at, you know, who's starting to spiral and you know, peter out a little bit. And right now the Giants are, what, 6 games below 500?
Yeah.
They're 5.5 out of the nearest wild card spot, so they're going nowhere. Quick assessment on your part. Would you have any interest in Conforto?
Yes.
So would I.
Now, you said any interest. Yeah, you said any interest. I loved Conforto when he was first here.
Yeah.
And then it just became, you know.
Yeah, no, I know.
Similar to how I started to feel about Pete. Like, enough's enough. Just move on from too much disappointment. Never lived up to the expectation. However, he would be a significant upgrade over DJ Stewart. Or even Marte.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. Would you have any interest in Wilmer Flores?
Nah.
Three, four times a week? A little righty stick off the bench?
Nah, he's not the guy that
Mets
I want.
Mets third for them sometimes.
Yeah, I don't think the Mets need him. They have a better version of him with Vientos. See, my issue, BT, you bring in Flores on, he's going to take a bench spot. He can't do anything other than hit from the right side. I want somebody who can have some speed, who can play a little bit. So Conforto, yes. Flores, no.
All right, now the next part, I already know your answer, but let me just give you the parameters here. Number one, in theory, he satisfies what I think you and I both think that you need, okay? And it's not incredibly burdensome financially, and it wouldn't require, I don't think, a lot to get him, I don't think. Blake Snell.
I knew you were going to say that name. Once you mentioned Giants, I figured that was the first name that was coming.
He only signed that 2-year deal.
I think it'd be worth a flyer. Problem is he's been so bad, and I didn't love him before. Now, I also didn't love him before at a high price that I was assuming he was going to get. But Blake Snell in the postseason, what is it? You have his numbers up this year or no?
I do. Just look at his contract stuff. This year, he's making $32 million, and then next year is the player option. So it could be a rental. He opts out. Peace out. We don't need
All
you.
Right.
Keep it moving. His number, he obviously threw a gem recently. His number, he started very slow. His numbers this year are... Sorry, Sal. All right. I mean, wow. Yeesh, the ERA is 5.83.
Yeah.
Good God almighty. Wow, it's that bad? Oh, God. He is a weird case study.
Yeah, I think that would be something that, similar to the way that Stern saw Severino, that he could be fixed.
Yeah.
If the organization views Snell as somebody that they think can be fixed,
yeah,
I think it'd be worth a flyer for the right price.
Uh-huh.
But just based on what I know, that's steer clear.
It's got a lot of strikeouts, more than one per inning, obviously. You know,
so what's the issue?
20 guys in 40 innings, that's always a problem. High pitch count. And, you know, it's weird because that ballpark is very pitcher-friendly. Very easy. I mean, relatively easy to pitch in San Francisco. You got Triples Alley.
Yeah.
It's hard to hit home runs. The heavy marine layer atmosphere yep. is tricky. So, I don't know. I mean, Blake's now, if he gets signed a five-year deal, you know, like, there's no chance. He's going to probably opt out. I mean, you kick the tires, throw them up there. What's the big deal?
Do you have the opt-in number?
I got it all
number?
For them. Let me just get
what's
back to you.
What's the opt-in number?
I'll give it all to you. So
Flaherty, by the way, is supposed to be the best pitcher yep. available that's going to be a free agent. And again, you're talking about Detroit, so maybe there's a way you could take some of the bad contract away. Again, I'm not saying I would do Baez one, but...
Yeah. Well, he's 32 this year, as I said, so probably more than half of that, probably about 10 or so remains on this year. Next year is a $30 million player option.
Right, he's probably going to take that.
He's still only 32, man.
Yeah, but who's offering
this year?
I
hear you, but maybe you just keep getting those two-year deals and you just keep opting out and almost tacking on one more. But he's got 15.
Right, so opt out and hope to get another.
Basically, just to add an extra. Yeah. Opt out. And you're not getting a five-year deal, but you're not going to go year to year. The opt-outs almost serve as a guaranteed extra year when you opt out. So the player option, I know that was a little convoluted, but yeah. I think that made sense. $30 million player option next year, $15 million deferred to 2027. So you're even punting half of it basically to the next year.
Yeah, I don't love Snell to begin with, but... He's a guy that I would at least have some interest in.
Yeah.
If you could get him at the right price, a guy that's been proven in the postseason. I'm not looking for an ace that needs to go eight innings here, especially if the Mets build that bullpen.
Good, because he's not that guy.
Right. I'm looking for a guy that I could trust in game one of the postseason. So he wouldn't be my first choice, but he certainly would be on the table.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Uh-huh. I like this one, little ghetto superstar.
Oh, yeah. Look at you, BT. Didn't know you had it in you. All right, BT and Sal back on the band. Yanks and Red Sox, BT. Just three games in the loss column separate the two teams here. The Yankees have been sinking. Red Sox and Orioles have not been playing well either.
No.
Really, that division has been an embarrassment. If the Orioles were playing well, they'd be running away with things. Obviously, they are not, which means the Yankees are right there. But the Yankees have dropped two straight, getting swept by the Mets. How do you feel going to this all-important series at Fenway? You got the deadline looming, you get the Red Sox, you get the Phillies, an important stretch here for the Yankees.
Yeah, this to me feels like an appetizer. It does not feel like anything of significant consequence to me.
Hey, man, you've been saying that too about the Yankee-Red Sox rivalry. This
is
big here.
I know.
Red Sox started this whole thing for the Yankees.
Pretty much, when they ran wild on them Sunday night, nine steals. Now, just to clarify, not that I don't think the games are big, they are. Not that I'm not very curious to see what lineups are out there and how the Yankees respond to Boston. Boston's been punking them pretty much all year. Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly into it, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the Yankees respond here. But when I say it's the appetizer, what I'm really saying is that no matter what happens, if they get swept, if they sweep, if they take two out of three, if they lose two out of three, any iteration of the possibilities of a three-game series, it doesn't matter to me because the real game is the deadline. If they don't make massive moves, they're not winning.
You wouldn't worry about the standings at all in this matchup?
That's definitely, I even said yesterday, that's the first time I really looked at them. But I said,
Four and a half games overall, but three in the loss column. I mean, the way the Yankees are going right now, it's not impossible to think they could get swept by the Red Sox.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. And if that happens, then...
Now you're starting to talk about their playoff spot being in jeopardy.
All bets are off. Right. And then after that...
They had the Phillies, right?
You've got the Phillies here. Gerrit Cole's coming off an outing where he just got shelled. Not that he's pitching this series, but obviously, just as he started to stabilize things a little bit, here we go. We don't really know where Gerrit Cole is right now. All right, Rodon flashed with the 10-strikeout game the other night. Fantastic. Where is he? He's been up and down. I don't know who's playing tonight. I don't know what they're going to do with the lineup.
Let me guess. Yeah. LeMahieu will be in there. Yeah. Maybe a little J.D. Davis be in there. Oh, yeah, is it righty tonight for Boston?
I believe it's righty.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. Yeah. So hallelujah. You see Ben Rice in the lineup.
Yeah, who else will play? They're guaranteed it's a lefty. No, listen, again, the reason I get your reaction because I remember saying to you last time they played, now the Yankees weren't this deeply mired in this prolonged, alarming funk of nothingness that they've seemingly been engulfed in. I mean, they look awful. But it was more about, the Yankees and the Red Sox rivalry's dulled out a little bit. The spark has been flicked out a little bit. That energy's, for me, I can only speak for myself, has dissipated a bit. No matter how many times, you know, ESPN or Apple or MLB Network or whatever other network they're on besides, puts together some compilation of all those moments of past, moments that were indelibly, just seared in our minds here. Pinella, Carlton Fisk, and obviously Bucky in 78, and Pedro and Zimmer, and everything between A-Rod and Jason Varitek, Arroyo and A-Rod at first base. Like, to me, that's just, it's fun, okay? But that's got an expiration point. I've said this a few times. My favorite line ever in The Sopranos, Tony said it.
Right.
Do you remember what he said? The lowest form of human communication begins with remember when. Hmm. Oh, remember when the Yankees and the Red Sox did this? Remember when Zimmer got flung to the floor? Remember when A-Rod and Varitek mushed each other's face? Remember when Pedro hit Soriano and Jeter back-to-back to start the game? Yeah, I remember it. But the reason why we keep bringing it up, remember when the Yankees flushed down the biggest lead in the history of sports in terms of the biggest collapse, I should say, ever in 04? Yeah, I remember it. I do. But it's no longer appealing to me because it's a million years ago. And these Yankees have not excited me the way those Yankees did in a long time. It's just not replicable.
I don't remember when Tony said that in The Sopranos. What season are we talking about?
I don't know the season off the top of my head. But isn't that a great line?
Yeah.
The lowest form of human communication begins with remember when. If you're constantly conjuring up images, now this is me inserting, if you're constantly conjuring up images or things from the past, what are you really doing with the present? Probably not that much.
Well, isn't that what Yankee fans were doing when the Mets swept them out of Yankee Stadium?
I wasn't doing that.
Remember when we won 27 championships?
I wasn't doing that.
No, I'm just saying.
I wasn't doing that. Neither was Barash. Yeah. Barash was saying, take it like a big boy.
Yankee fans have had a lot of remember when. Remember when we won the World Series in 2009?
No.
It's a lot of remember when.
At least we have some remember wins.
Yeah, well, remember when the Mets were more recently in the World Series?
Remember when Sal was 3 years old or 4 years old crawling around, basically just learned how to walk and the Mets won? Remember when that happened?
Cortez, Stroman.
I can't say I don't trust Cortez at all.
Yeah,
I
just getting things started tonight. Cortez, Stroman, Rodon.
Yep.
Now the Yankees are facing all three righties.
I know.
So that'll help.
It's all three. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, I just was checking that as you were talking.
And the Yankees throwing two lefties themselves
Cortez, Stroman, Rodon.
Well, I mean, it's you can grunt and groan, but it depends which version show up. That's what's so interesting about this season.
God.
Like, I mean, listen, there's just certain names, no matter what, you're just like, this guy doesn't instill an ounce of confidence.
Where's your confidence with
Nestor? I think the Yankees lose 2 out of 3 this weekend.
God.
I do.
And then what?
You asked me this last weekend, and I was right.
I know.
I just think they're going to lose 2 out of 3.
You were confident before the Mets series.
I was.
But this is different now.
That was a little false.
Maybe. False maybe just hope because you did. I appreciate you admitting that.
Yes, yes.
I think Cortez will compete. Stroman's generally consistent, but something about
Rodon?
Something about Stroman in that ballpark.
Oh, he's more of a ground ball guy. I don't worry too much about him.
Yeah, I don't know.
I trust Stroman. Stroman's a pro.
Yeah, he's all right, but I don't know if he's going to be a stopper. Yanks need a stopper, and then Rodon, who the hell knows?
Don't know. Is that Sunday night? Is that game Sunday night? I'm sure it
good
is.
Good question.
Sure, they're shoving it down our throats again Sunday night baseball, right?
Let's see. Sunday,
I would have to think that's Sunday night baseball.
Yeah, 7:10 ESPN. Boy, here we go.
Can you imagine? Just imagine. Let's say they split the first two, and Rodon goes out there and got a chance to win the series, kind of stabilize things a bit before Philly, and he gives up like a 4 spot in the first inning.
Or
33 pitches, labors through.
Or
what?
What if they lose the first two?
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible.
And Rodon goes out there.
Nothing off limits for these Yankees.
And if you think they lose 2 out of 3, that means you don't think they've hit rock bottom yet.
I do think that the Yankees are going to make a strong stand and make a lot of this conversation about their demise seem foolish.
Just not yet.
Not yet, because they don't have the players that they will have next week.
So
they
are
bringing in horses. Book it. They are.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Charlie's calling from Forest Hills. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I just want to touch base on a couple of things that you guys were talking about this morning. One is I'm a longtime Met fan. I was never really a fan of the trade for Lindor, but I realized that new ownership wanted to make a statement, show that they were going to make money. I also hear one of the callers putting the stats up. Like you say, it's nice to have those numbers at the end of the year, but you gotta do it from the beginning. You can't disappear for 2 months out of the season and all of a sudden come back. But then again, I was also at the game last night, and I said to my wife, after Lindor hit that home run, I said, just wait. It's just a matter of time before you start hearing the fans saying MVP.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing at a level, Charlie, and thank you for the call. I mean, look, I personally don't get into the award stuff. I think it's cool. I wish Lindor would have made the All-Star team. It would be great if he could win the MVP. I still don't think that that's realistic. I mean, he's playing himself into the conversation, no question. I can't imagine at the end of this baseball season, we're talking about Francisco Lindor MVP.
If that happens, baby. I will not only win, then I will apologize publicly, right? Has the Met ever won the MVP? Darryl finished second. He got hosed that year.
No.
They don't have one MVP?
No.
So pathetic. Jeez. Because you got to have an MVP.
But I don't even care about that. Like, it'd be cool. Yeah, okay,
you can't
great.
Stumble upon an MVP after 50 years.
DeGrom 60 years? Come or R.A. Dickey have won the Cy Young Award. Like, who cares?
I'm talking about the batting MVP. Title.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, for me, it doesn't never did anything.
60 years, man. You don't have one MVP? Come on.
They only have two World Series wins. I'd rather have that. I'd rather have. They barely have a no-hitter. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? I said barely.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
that's contestable.
They got the combined barely. No-hitter.
No, that doesn't count.
No.
Johans is still up for interpretation.
Yeah, okay. Or if we're going to start giving back, yeah, I mean, what about Jeffrey Mayer? Are we giving back that World Series?
Who?
Yeah, right, Jeffrey Mayer.
That young impressionable 7-year-old boy in right field who was overwhelmed by a sea of Yankee fans didn't really know how to comport himself.
The guy who's been in Monument Park, has his jersey retired like everybody else has ever wore a Yankee jersey before. He's got a Yankeeography as well. Jeffrey Mayer.
He became a college baseball player. I think I told you that once. Did you know that?
I think you said that
before. I think D2 or D3. He actually wound up going on to play college baseball.
How'd that work out for him?
I think the Yankees may have signed him, too.
The best play he ever made was that one. jolting the Yankees to their dynasty run.
That was awesome, man. Carrasco pointing up. Oh, God. What? Wow,
Chris is in Brooklyn.
Around the bases. That was sick.
Chris?
Hey, how's it going, Sal? How's it going, BT?
What's up, Chris?
So I am a Yankee fan with my hat in my hand today for Sal. I know Sal is going to love this one. But I'm here not to offer an apology like BT, but to say that I was wrong, too. No, I'm saying I'm not.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so it's like... I got to tell you, I was wrong. I was one of those Yankee fans that laughed at the team meeting. Then I actually listened to what the team meeting was about, and I came to realize something.
What?
That this whole season comes down to one thing.
Music.
For the Mets, for the Yankees, hell, maybe even for the whole damn country. Accountability. And the fact that the Mets stood up in that team meeting and said that, hey, every single person is going to be held accountable for what they do on the field every single game. And then I got a ton of respect for that team for turning their season around because they held themselves accountable, quite frankly, unlike the New York Yankees, who basically have made excuses for 6 weeks. And I think that's what turned this whole season around for them.
Hmm. Let me think there, Sal.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that, especially the part where you're apologizing to the Mets and saying you were wrong. It takes a man to admit that they were wrong, like BT did earlier. Colossally wrong in this particular case. I've done it many times before. We know that.
Yeah.
You sit in these chairs long enough, you give sports opinions, you're going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels good when you're on the right side of things for a change.
Well, the difference, though, Sal, I don't want details getting away here. Yeah. Good story. Yeah. Okay. I would say the most wrong you've ever been was the Braves, Mets, and LA. Okay.
Yeah.
That's over.
Right.
Still a lot of baseball to go here. Don't go 2-for-23, Lindor.
See, this is why you're hesitant to apologize to him, because you think that there's another stretch in there.
I actually don't. I don't. But you better hope it doesn't happen.
And by the way,
everybody's taking bows.
I wasn't wrong about the NL East. They blew it. They should.
That video was just, God. Did that get over a million?
I think it did.
Oh my God! Was that on SNY or was that here?
No, it's SNY. Sort of SNY. Yeah, the TV
component too, huh?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I'll tell you this.
Yes,
I don't make those bold predictions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the top wild card spot in the National League is over. After we catch Atlanta BT, we're coming for the Phillies and paying them back for 2007. We are just getting started.
If I didn't know you and the irony is that you've never taken them, I would think that you're on drugs. I really would think that you are just laced up with something. Are you on drugs? Insane.
Drugs? No.
You're insane. He's high on baseball happiness, folks.
I love that you said that the irony is you've never taken them. Exactly. Nah.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I like this one, little ghetto superstar.
Oh, yeah. Look at you, BT. Didn't know you had it in you. All right, BT and Sal back on the fan. Yanks and Red Sox, BT. Just three games in the loss column separate the two teams here. The Yankees have been sinking. Red Sox and Orioles have not been playing well either.
No.
Really, that division has been an embarrassment. If the Orioles were playing well, they'd be running away with things. Obviously, they are not, which means the Yankees are right there. But the Yankees have dropped two straight, getting swept by the Mets. How do you feel going to this all-important series at Fenway? You got the deadline looming, you got the Red Sox, you got the Phillies, an important stretch here for the Yankees.
Yeah, this to me feels like an appetizer. It does not feel like anything of significant consequence to me.
Hey, man, you've been saying that too about the Yankee-Red Sox rivalry. This is big here.
I know.
Red Sox started this whole thing for the Yankees.
Pretty much, when they ran wild on them Sunday night, nine steals. Now, just to clarify, not that I don't think the games are big, they are. Not that I'm not very curious to see what lineups are out there and how the Yankees respond to Boston. Boston's been punking them pretty much all year. Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly into it, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the Yankees respond here. But when I say it's the appetizer, what I'm really saying is that no matter what happens, if they get swept, if they sweep, if they take two out of three, if they lose two out of three, any iteration of the possibilities of a three-game series, it doesn't matter to me because the real game is the deadline. If they don't make massive moves, they're not winning.
You wouldn't worry about the standings at all in this matchup?
That's definitely, I even said yesterday, that's the first time I really looked at them. But I said,
Four and a half games overall, but three in the loss column. I mean, the way the Yankees are going right now, it's not impossible to think they could get swept by the Red Sox.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. And if that happens, then...
Now you're starting to talk about their playoff spot being in jeopardy.
All bets are off. Right. And then after that...
They had the Phillies, right?
You've got the Phillies here. Gerrit Cole's coming off an outing where he just got shelled. Not that he's pitching this series, but obviously, just as he started to stabilize things a little bit, here we go. We don't really know where Gerrit Cole is right now. All right, Rodon flashed with the 10-strikeout game the other night. Fantastic. Where is he? He's been up and down. I don't know who's playing tonight. I don't know what they're going to do with the lineup.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
LeMahieu will be in there. Yeah. Maybe a little J.D. Davis be there. Oh, is it righty tonight for Boston?
I believe it's righty. Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You see Ben Rice in the lineup.
Yeah, who else will play? They're guaranteed it's a lefty. No, listen, again, I get your reaction because I remember saying to you last time they played, now, the Yankees weren't this deeply mired in this prolonged, alarming funk of nothingness that they've seemingly been engulfed in. I mean, they look awful. But it was more about, the Yankees and the Red Sox rivalry's dulled out a little bit. The spark has been flicked out a little bit. That energy's, for me, I can only speak for myself, has dissipated a bit. No matter how many times, ESPN or Apple or MLB Network or whatever other network they're on besides, puts together some compilation of all those moments of past, moments that were indelibly, just seared in our minds here. Pinella, Carlton Fisk, and obviously Bucky in 78, and Pedro and Zimmer, and everything between A-Rod and Jason Varitek, Arroyo and A-Rod at first base. Like, to me, that's just, it's fun, okay? But that's got an expiration point. I've said this a few times. What My favorite line ever in The Sopranos. Tony, who said it? Tony said it.
Right.
Do you remember what he said? The lowest form of human communication begins with remember when. Remember when the Yankees and the Red Sox did this? Remember when Zimmer got flung to the floor? Remember when A-Rod and Veritek mushed each other's face? Remember when Pedro hit Soriano and Jeter back-to-back to start the game? Yeah, I remember it, but the reason why we keep bringing it up, remember when the Yankees flushed down the biggest lead in the history of sports in terms of the biggest collapse, I should say, ever in 04? Yeah, I remember it. I do. But it's no longer appealing to me because it's a million years ago. And these Yankees have not excited me the way those Yankees did in a long time. It's just not replicable.
I don't remember when Tony said that in The Sopranos. What season are we talking about?
I don't know the season off the top of my head. But
isn't that
a great line?
Yeah.
The lowest form of human communication begins with remember when. If you're constantly conjuring up images, now this is me inserting, if you're constantly conjuring up images or things from the past, what are you really doing with the present? Probably not that much.
Well, isn't that what Yankee fans were doing when the Mets swept them out of Yankee Stadium?
I wasn't doing that.
Remember when we won 27 championships?
I wasn't doing that.
No, I'm just saying.
I wasn't doing that. Neither was Barash. Yeah. Barash was saying, take it like a big boy.
Yankee fans have had a lot of remember when. Remember when we won the World Series in 2009?
No.
It's a lot of remember when.
At least we have some remember whens.
Yeah, well, remember when the Mets were more recently in the World Series?
Remember when Sal was 3 years old or 4 years old crawling around, basically just learned how to walk and the Mets won? Remember when that happened?
Cortez, Stroman.
I can't say that. I don't trust Cortez at all.
Yeah,
I just
didn't think started tonight. Cortez, Stroman, Rodon.
Yep.
Now the Yankees are facing all three righties.
I know.
So that'll help.
It's all three. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, I just was checking that as you were talking.
And the Yankees throwing two lefties themselves.
Cortez, Stroman, Rodon.
Well, I mean, it's you can grunt and groan, but it depends which version show up. That's what's so interesting about this season.
God.
Like, I mean, listen, there's just certain names, no matter what, you're just like, this guy
doesn't instill
an ounce
of
tonight? Confidence.
Where's your confidence with Nestor?
I think the Yankees lose 2 out of 3 this weekend.
God.
I do.
And then what?
You asked me this last weekend, and I was right.
I know.
I just think they're going to lose 2 out of 3.
You were confident before the Mets series.
I was.
But this is different
that's
now.
True. That was a little false.
Maybe
just hoping you did.
I appreciate you admitting that.
Yes, yes.
I think Cortez will compete. Stroman's generally consistent, but something about
Rodon.
Something about Stroman in that ballpark.
Oh, he's more of a ground ball guy. I don't worry too much about him.
Yeah, I don't know.
I trust Stroman. Stroman's a pro.
Yeah, he's all right, but I don't know if he's going to be a stopper. Yanks need a stopper, and then Rodon. Who the hell knows?
Don't know. Is that Sunday night? Is that game Sunday night? I'm sure it is.
Good question.
Sure, they're shoving it down our throats again. Sunday night baseball, right?
Let's see. Sunday,
I would have to think that's Sunday night baseball.
Yeah, 7:10 ESPN.
Boy,
here we go.
Can you imagine? Just imagine. Let's say they split the first two, and Rodon goes out there and got a chance to win the series, kind of stabilize things a bit before Philly, and he gives up like a 4 spot in the first inning,
or
33 pitches, labors through,
or
what?
What if they lose the first two?
Yeah, I mean anything's possible.
Rodon goes out there.
Listen. I put nothing off limits for these Yankees.
And if you think they lose 2 out of 3, that means you don't think they've hit rock bottom yet.
I do think that the Yankees are going to make a strong stand and make a lot of this conversation about their demise seem foolish.
Just not yet.
Not yet, because they don't have the players that they will have next week.
So
they are bringing
in
horses. Book it. They are.
BT and Sal on the fan. Charlie's calling from Forest Hills. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I just want to touch base on a couple of things that you guys were talking about this morning. One is I'm a longtime Met fan. I was never really a fan of the trade for Lindor, but I realized that new ownership wanted to make a statement, sure that they were going to make money. I also hear one of the callers putting the stats up. Like you say, it's nice to have those numbers at the end of the year, but you gotta do it from the beginning. You can't disappear for 2 months out of the season and all of a sudden come back. But then again, I was also at the game last night, and I said to my wife, after Lindor hit that home run, I said, just wait. It's just a matter of time before you start hearing the fans saying MVP.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing at a level, Charlie, thank you for the call. I mean, look, I personally don't get into the award stuff. I think it's cool. I wish Lindor would have made the All-Star team. It would be great if he could win the MVP. I still don't think that that's realistic. I mean, he's playing himself into the conversation, no question. I can't imagine at the end of this baseball season, we're talking about Francisco Lindor MVP.
If that happens, baby. I will not only then I will apologize publicly, right? Has the Met ever won the MVP? Darryl finished second. He got hosed that year.
No.
They don't have one MVP?
No.
So pathetic. Jeez. Because you're not having an MVP.
But I don't even care about that. Like, it'd be cool. Yeah, okay,
you can't
great.
Can't stumble upon an MVP after 50 years.
DeGrom or Dickey have won the Cy Young Award. Like, who cares?
I'm talking about the MVP.
Title. Yeah, but I'm saying, like, for me, it never did anything.
60 years, man. You don't have one MVP? Come on.
They only have two World Series wins. I'd rather have that. I'd rather have... They barely have a no-hitter. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? I said barely.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they
even
got
that's
the,
contestable.
They got the combined no-hitter.
No, that doesn't count.
No.
Johans is still... up for interpretation.
Yeah, okay. Or if we're going to start giving back, yeah, I mean, what about Jeffrey Mayer? Are we giving back that World Series?
Who?
Yeah, right, Jeffrey Mayer.
That young impressionable 7-year-old right field who was overwhelmed by a sea of Yankee fans didn't really know how to comport himself.
Jeffrey Mayer,
completely exonerate him.
The guy who's been in Monument Park, has his jersey retired like everybody else has ever wore a Yankee jersey before. He's got a Yankeeography as well. Jeffrey Mayer.
He became a college baseball player. I think I told you that once. Did you know that?
I think you said that
before. I think D2 or D3. He actually wound up going on to play college baseball.
How'd that work out for him?
I think the Yankees may have signed him, too.
The best play he ever made was that one. jolting the Yankees to their dynasty run.
That was awesome, man. Carrasco pointing up. Oh, God. What? Wow,
Chris
Jeter
is in Brooklyn.
Around the bases. That was sick.
Chris?
Hey, how's it going, Sal? How's it going, BT?
What's up, Chris?
So I am a Yankee fan with my hat in my hand today for Sal. I know Sal's going to love this one. But I'm here not to offer an apology like BT, but to say that I was wrong, too. Hmm. No, I'm saying I'm not.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so it's like... I got to tell you, I was wrong. I was one of those Yankee fans that laughed at the team meeting. Then I actually listened to what the team meeting was about, and I came to realize something.
What?
That this whole season comes down to one thing.
Music.
For the Mets, for the Yankees, hell, maybe even for the whole damn country. Accountability. And the fact that the Mets stood up in that team meeting and said that, hey, every single person is going to be held accountable for what they do on the field every single game. And then I got a ton of respect for that team for turning their season around because they held themselves accountable, quite frankly, unlike the New York Yankees, who basically have made excuses for 6 weeks. And I think that's what's turned this whole season around for them.
We think there, Sal.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that, especially the part where you're apologizing to the Mets and saying you were wrong. It takes a man to admit that they were wrong, like BT did earlier. Colossally wrong in this particular case. I've done it many times before. We know that.
Yeah.
You sit in these chairs long enough, you give sports opinions, you're going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels good when you're on the right side of things for a change.
Well, the difference, though, Sal, I don't want details getting away here.
Yeah.
A good story. Yeah. Okay. I would say the most wrong you've ever been was the Braves, Mets, and LA. Okay.
Yeah.
That's over.
Right.
Still a lot of baseball to go here. Don't go 2-for-23, Lindor.
See, this is why you're hesitant to apologize to him, because you think that there's another stretch in there.
I actually don't. I don't. But you better hope it doesn't happen.
And by the way,
everybody's taking bows.
I wasn't wrong about the NL East. They blew it. They should.
that video was just.
God.
Did that get over a million?
I think it did.
Oh, my God. Was that on SNY or was that here?
No, it's SNY. Sort of SNY.
Yeah,
the TV
component too, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you this.
Yes,
I don't make those bold predictions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the top wild card spot in the National League is over. After we catch Atlanta, BT, we're coming for the Phillies and paying them back for 2007. We are just getting started.
If I didn't know you and the irony is that you've never taken them, I would think that you're on drugs. I really would think that you are just laced up with something.
Are you on
insane.
Drugs?
Insane.
Drugs? No.
You're insane. He's high on baseball happiness, folks.
I love that you said that the irony is you've never taken them. Exactly.